Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spear.
And away we go. It's a Tuesday, September the 29th, 2020, 15 minutes past the hour, last Tuesday in the month of September, and certainly last night fall came in. Fall came about a week ago, but last night the fall temperatures certainly came in and look like they're going to be hanging around for some time now. We want to thank Tracy Kinsler for joining us in hour number one, Marion Public Health Commissioner, and also Emil Dansker, legendary journalist and favorite professor of our sports director emeritus, Jeff Ruth, and we will tell you that story sometime. It's a funny story, it's a good story, and it's a good story about overcoming adversity. But Emil Dansker, great guy, great journalist here in Ohio. Now, this is not particularly a sports show, but when something out of the ordinary happens or something amazing happens, we certainly like to cover it here on this station. And there has been some interesting things going on in the world of high school football. We weren't sure if there was going to be a season this year. It turns out there certainly was. And, of course, we have five districts here in Marion, and one of those is River Valley. Now, there is a rivalry between River Valley and Pleasant, and that game took place 2 weeks ago. And I believe I might be right on this, that Pleasant has won more of those games than River Valley, but not 2 weeks ago. River Valley defeated Pleasant this year. And last week, two local schools faced off again. Harding played River Valley, and that score was 41-7, River Valley. Now, why is this all amazing? Well, here's why it's amazing. I don't know how often this happens. I'm thinking it's pretty rare, but four touchdowns in one game last week. Four touchdowns in one game by one person. Two running, one passing, and one punt return, I believe, are the statistics on that. And now here is a case of serendipity, because on this station, for a while now, you've got to hear Abby Croman come on and be a guest with us. And the person who has scored these touchdowns and done these things for River Valley is her oldest son, Luke Rogers. So when I found that out, I said, well, we got to have him in. He's certainly got to be better than his mother on the air. So here we go. Luke Rogers is with us this morning, live in studio. Luke, how you doing?
Good morning, Scott. Thank you for having me.
So glad to have you here today. Let's go back 2 weeks to Pleasant. Why is this a rivalry?
I don't really know, to be honest with you. They have won a lot of the games out of the last 20 years for sure, but just a lot of talking back and forth, you know, like at basketball games, they'll chant like, let's play football, just to, you know, get at us because we beat them in basketball. So it felt good to come out and beat them in football, you know, kind of shut them up.
So why do you think Pleasant wins more often? Because in this town, there is this idea that Pleasant just has the best football team.
They do, normally. Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, they've always had a lot more talent. I don't know why either, but they've always had a lot better players.
Now, this rivalry between River Valley and Pleasant has been going on long before you got there, certainly.
Yes, yeah, way longer. One of my friend's dads that plays on our team was on the state championship team, actually.
Oh, interesting. Now, last week's game, Harding. Now, what is the situation between River Valley and Harding? Just two local schools?
Yeah, I mean, there is somewhat of a rivalry there, too. It's like us and Pleasant, because it's all Marion teams. It's basically the Marion teams that all have a rivalry against each other. But, yeah, I mean, we blew them out of the water this year. We beat them last year, too, by 24. I think the year before that they got us, but normally we've beat them.
Now, if we go back 2 weeks to the Pleasant game, what were your memories of that game?
Celebrating with our coach afterwards. He was smiling the whole entire night. I mean, once we came out and we got a lead on them, and I mean, we had the lead the whole game. They never really answered back.
Going into that game, did you think this is a year when we can beat them?
Oh yeah, for sure.
But why was that? Because they had lost a couple games in a row?
Yeah, I mean, they were losing to teams that they shouldn't have lost to, and they wouldn't have lost 2 years past. and they had lost a couple decent players. Their quarterback was hurt going into that game. He had to put them at running. Their coach put the quarterback at running back to sort of switch it up, but we were able to prepare for that.
Now, when you got on the field, when were you guys confident that we got this?
We came out and we scored the first drive. That helped a lot. We stopped them. We only punted the ball one time. I mean, they only stopped us once.
Now, is there bad blood at the end of that game? Because it is a rivalry. Do they get angry? I mean, you don't shake hands anymore in this world. But are they okay with it?
The better players are okay with it. Like, their quarterback, who was All-Ohio last year, he was okay with it. They have a lineman that was also All-Ohio. He's okay with it. But the players that don't really get any recognition are the ones that want to run their mouths at the end of the game.
Now, it's my understanding, you had some good stats in that game as well.
Yeah, I had a couple.
So, as far as you in that game, tell us, you in the Pleasant game, what happened?
I had two touchdowns, and both of them I ran for. I was untouched. I had a bubble route that I caught and ran for 57 yards. We pretty much were able to pick their defense apart. They were pretty weak in almost every area. We had a couple deep passes we threw because, I mean, we have taller receivers, and both their corners were short, so we just threw it up and let them do their thing.
So in 2 weeks, two Marion County teams, Harding and Pleasant, you've scored 6 touchdowns in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's not normal.
That was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. So what has gone on in the last 2 weeks?
I don't know. I don't know if it's trust with the coaches. I mean, they've just been giving me the ball and letting me do my thing.
Now, are you starting to notice that the other team is like, well, we got to make sure that this guy doesn't have the ball?
Yeah, I think that happened week 3 against Ontario, which we've never lost to Ontario before, and they beat us this year. But Ontario is coming out and beating teams this year that they've never beat before either. They're not normally a good team, but they came out and they shut down pretty much everything we tried to do.
Ontario was 2 weeks ago. That's the only game that River Valley has lost this year, I believe. And it's my understanding that there were some people who were observing it, thought there were some mistakes made in that game and River Valley could have won it. As a player, what did you think?
I agree with that 100%. Going back and watching, I mean, you could pick that game apart. There were so many different things. I mean, we had a personal foul that cost us the game because, I mean, we also have the players like to run their mouths too, but I mean, he had a big sack, would have been like 4th and 13. He gets a personal foul, they get automatic first down. They end up scoring. We had a punt that was blocked that they picked up and scored for a touchdown. There are so many different things.
Did nerves set in at any point in that game, and that's why maybe some of these mistakes were made?
Kind of, but not really. I mean, we controlled the whole game. We went into halftime, we were up 18-7. We blew like a 10-point lead or something like that. I think it was in the fourth quarter.
Really?
With 5 minutes left. That's when they took over the game.
Now, when that game's over, how do you feel when something like that happens?
Defeated, really, because that's not the team we wanted to lose to. So now going into week 6, playing Shelby, who's a really good team, I mean, they're undefeated. We play them for the MOAC championship, but we only win a share of it. Like, we have to share it with them. If we would have beat Ontario and beat Shelby, we win it outright. So
now, what does it look like this week with Shelby?
We can beat them. We definitely can. Last year, it was 17-7. They only beat us by 10, which there were also mistakes in that game. But they're not really like better than us.
Now, if we go to last week's game, River Valley, 4 touchdowns. Now, after the 3rd touchdown, did they think we should guard this person?
Yeah, they did, actually. After I scored the 4th one, they decided to guard me. That's what they started. They made the switch because I was running a little wheel route where I'll just run out of the backfield and the quarterback dumped it to me and just lets me run. After the 2nd one, I ran it for 89 yards, and after that, we tried running that play again, and it just didn't work.
It's very interesting. So when you go in and you score 4 touchdowns at the end of the game, how you feeling?
Oh, you're feeling good. You feel like you're on top of the world. And then after that, Rob McCurdy comes, he interviews me, and then you're just feeling, like all that.
Yeah, I bet you are after a game like that.
Yeah.
So, sports in general, this could have been the year that didn't happen. This could have been the COVID year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, knowing that it wasn't, and we did play, do you think that was the right choice?
Oh, yes, 100%. I mean, the whole COVID thing is sort of weird. Like, how we still have to social distance in schools and we're not going back in full time, but we're allowed to run around and hit each other and sweat on each other and do all this. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, it's a little different. I mean, people are like this everywhere.
Yeah.
Did you think back in summer that you would play?
No. Our coach didn't either. I mean, he would have been really upset because he was really excited about this season, but just watching Governor DeWine every Tuesday, Thursday, whatever it was, just hoping he'd make an announcement on it.
You know, I think I remember, if I'm right here, when the announcement was made that it was going to happen, or the governor had said he was going to address it that day, I think I saw a picture of you and some other kids really intently watching Governor DeWine that day. What was that day like?
Oh, it was so nerve-wracking. I mean, we were just waiting and waiting and waiting, and then he finally said he was going to talk about high school sports, and then he said he was going to let us play, and we just got so excited.
What does sports mean to you in the high school experience?
It means a lot. It teaches. It's more than just a game. Like, everyone thinks you just go out and you play. I mean, there's the practice that goes into it. It teaches us to be, like, self-disciplined, and we work hard, and, I mean, it makes us into good young men.
Now, you have had some college visits.
Yes.
What's that been like for you?
Those are fun. It's fun to get to look around and get a feel and know that they want you to come play for them. It's kind of a cool feeling, but I haven't really decided on anything.
Do you plan to make a decision soon?
No. To be honest with you, I've kicked the idea around of even playing. I don't know if I want to play football in college or not.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. It's a lot of work. It's a really big commitment. I mean, not saying that I can't do the work, but I've kind of just thought, like, ending it there and just sort of getting my degree and making money.
Now, what do you want to be?
I don't exactly know yet. I have a couple ideas. Like, I want to get my realtor's license after I graduate, because you don't have to go to college for that, so I'll have that. I want to get a degree in, like, business management, just so something broad, that way I can use it anywhere.
So you think that coming up here, this could be one of your last games, possibly?
Yeah, it could be. It depends. If I get any, like, Division II colleges that want me to come play, I'll probably come play, because then I can start getting money for that. But if I'm not going to get any really, like, money off of it, then there's not really a point.
What has sports meant to your life at this point? 17 years old.
Oh, a lot. I've been playing since, I mean, flag football, but tackle football since third grade. So I was probably, what, like nine? I've been playing for 8 years now. It means a lot. I mean, I've also played, I stopped playing baseball in high school, so I was playing two sports all the way up until my freshman year.
Now, do you have a love for it?
Yeah.
Or is it a love, or is it a game you play?
No, it's a love.
It's a love. What's the difference? How do you know you love it?
You know you love it when you get nervous before every game, when you're worried about every play, you want to win, and you know, I mean, there's the kids that you're cheering, there's the kids that won't cheer, they're the kids that are just sort of stale, standing on the sidelines. I mean, they don't really care if you win or lose. I mean, they're just signed up because their dad wants them to play. It's not really like they love it and they want to do it.
You know, when you're out on the field last week, you know, on a punt return, a pass, a run, how much of that is your decision? Do you have to make a quick decision? This is what I'm going to do. Because the coach isn't on the field with you.
Mm-hmm. The runs, I've always been a running back. I mean, the runs just sort of, they're just on the fly type thing. I just know what to do. I see the field really well. Same thing with punt returns. That's the first one I've returned for a touchdown. Those are really nerve-wracking, though, because, I mean, it's in the air. You can't see who's running at you. You just got to catch it and go, and that's what I did.
I should say that we have two listeners here on the Internet who both say he sounds good, he's doing really good. So there you go. Things are going very well. And one of them isn't your mother, so it's kind of interesting. No, it's not her. So things are going very well this morning. Let's get a little background on you. Where did you grow up? What was your childhood like?
Okay.
Why, mom's in the room, so you got to be careful. I can make her leave if you want. I can send her out in the other room.
No,
that's all right. I've stayed in the same house, actually, my whole life in Marion, in Crystal Lakes, right off of Pole Lane. My childhood was good. It was really good, actually.
What made it good?
My mom, I guess, since she's in here. But No, we were always doing something. We always, I mean, it was never a down moment. Like, I always had something to do. We were always playing. I had a little brother, which helped with that, but I always had fun. I never was really bored and didn't hate it at all.
How much does it matter that you have parents who encourage you?
That matters a lot. I mean, there's a lot of kids in this world, I mean, it's sad to say, that don't have parents that encourage them. And I mean, there's kids like that at my school, and you can tell they just walk around. I mean, they don't talk. They don't really care. The kids, there's some kids on my team that don't play, and their parents just, after the, some kids' parents don't show up because they know that they're not going to play, and that's sad too. But if you have encouraging parents, you can go a really long way in life.
So it does make a big difference.
Yeah.
Does make a big difference. Now, when you have family in the stands, what's it like when you have a game like last Friday night?
Oh, it feels good because you know they were watching, you know they were cheering you on, you can't wait to talk to them afterward. That's also a big motivator, too. If we were to play this year and they talked about the idea of not having any fans at all, it would have just been like a practice. It would have been so boring. None of us would have played to our potential.
What has that been like with less fans, obviously?
As long as my family gets in here, it hasn't really been. I mean, you don't have the student section that's chanting and cheering and being all obnoxious, but it hasn't been too different. I wish there could be more people, but you just got to deal with what we got.
How has this, the end of last year and the beginning of this year, how has this pandemic changed the high school experience in general?
Completely. I mean, when we were left in March, was it? They were like, we'll see you Monday. We're gonna be off Friday for some cleaning. And I just saw him for the first time in September. So
Yeah. Now, what kind of toll mentally does that take on somebody?
It really throws you off completely. I mean, going from seeing all your friends every day, knowing your teachers every day, and then just having to communicate online and trying to get all your work done online with people that don't have internet or slow internet, it's difficult.
Now, I've heard good and bad stories about this. How is the internet learning going?
I don't find it to be that hard. I mean, I only have one class this semester for high school because I've completed all my other credits. I have college classes that I do, but those are online anyway. But it hasn't been too hard. I just log in every day at 2:10, get on a Zoom for 40 minutes, and then I'm done.
Do you think this, a lot of changes we feel are going to happen because of this pandemic. Do you think a lot of schooling is going to go this way, or we need to go back to the way we were?
We're going back 4 days a week next week, from what I hear. And then we have Friday that's all online, I think. But I don't think things are ever, I feel like things are never going to be normal again. Like everything is just sort of how things are going to be.
What's it like to wear a mask in school?
It's horrible.
Horrible.
I hate it. It's so, because I mean, you're like sitting there and you're trying to hear what the teacher's saying, but you can't hear what he's saying through his mask sometimes, and you got to talk through yours, and it gets hot, and it's not it.
How has this affected your senior year?
It's really not as fun. I mean, your senior year, you envision like hanging with your friends and relaxing, classes easy, stuff like that, but having to come in, buzz in, report, sanitize, it doesn't feel the same.
There was a lot of talk last year about how the kids had to graduate, and I don't think there were any homecomings that went on last year, or proms. I guess it was proms that were canceled last year. Was there a homecoming this year? Did any of that go on?
No, homecoming got canceled. They still did like the king and the queen and all that stuff, which was cool, but I think kids are going to try to rent out a venue that we can all go to and try to do something at least for our senior year, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's a whole different world. It's very strange in a lot of different ways. Tell us about your whole career in football. Flag football you started with. So take us through up until now.
Flag football. All right. Well, flag football was, it's sort of just like a bunch of kids playing in the front yard. There's not really any organization to it. You're just running around, grabbing flags. Which sort of, third grade football is what taught me a lot, because you still can play flag in third grade. You can't play for your school till fourth. So me and a bunch of my friends went down to Delaware and joined a league where we could play tackle football, and we played with like older kids, which sort of gave me like an advantage going into fourth grade football, knowing how to tackle and do all this stuff. Youth football, those are my favorite years. If I could go back and play youth football again, my fourth grade year, I mean, I scored 14 touchdowns. I remember that because my dad made a bet with me at the beginning of the season. He'd give me $20 for every touchdown I scored. And I don't think he had any, like, faith in me at that point. So I went out and scored 14, and I used that money to buy an iPod, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
So you scored a few touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When you look back at this thing, your career in sports, who are the people who meant something to you, who helped your game get better?
My mom taking me to every practice, but coaches, we always had good coaches. We've always had coaches that are hard on us, and they want to make us better. And they really treated us like family. Like Coach Green in high school, this is by far like the best coach I've ever had. He really pushes us every day, but at the end of the day, he treats us like we're family. He'd do anything for us.
What makes a good coach?
You don't want a coach. You want a coach that gets on you. You don't want the coach just laid back and, you know, everything's going to be all right. Like Coach Green's like that sometimes, but when he gets on you, he gets on you. And it makes you a better player. And you need a coach that wants to that treats you like his own. Like, if I'd call him right now and tell him I needed something, he'd be right there. Like, he makes sure that we're all right.
Is football something you can learn, you can practice at, you can get better, or do you have to have something when you go in?
That goes both ways. It's sort of like, no, you don't really have to have talent. It can be taught. I mean, if you have talent, you're going to excel, obviously, but you can be coached to be a really good player. It's sort of like the Michael Jordan situation where he got cut from like his high school basketball team and then is now the greatest basketball player of all time.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you think that is? How do you go from being cut to being the greatest of all time?
That if I were to get cut, it would make me want to strive to be the best. Like, put in so much work. I mean, it's not just the football season. You have to work in the off season, lifting the weights, running, eating right. I mean, unless you're a lineman, then you can sort of just do whatever you want. But the skilled players, lifting weights, going to work out, wanting to, like, just trying. You got to have effort.
How did you get that ethic? That has to be some kind of ethic.
I've always been a hard worker. Like, I've never wanted to be, I mean, all right, whatever, dude. My mom helped me. But I've never wanted to be bad, I guess you could say. Like, I've always wanted to be the best, so you got to work to be the best, so.
That's inherited, isn't it?
I've
seen some of that from time to time. It's interesting, though, because I think as you're coming up, at some point you got to realize, I have a talent.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you know that?
My sophomore year. I started varsity my second half of my sophomore year. And then I think they sort of realized that. And then going into my junior year, it was just like, feed me the ball. Like, I was getting the ball a lot. That's when I noticed that I really had something special.
Take me through this. Okay, like last week during the game, when the pass is up, it's coming to you. What is that moment like? Because you could drop it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's really nerve-wracking because then the coaches get on you and all that, but I just sort of caught it and then saw who was around me and then just took off, used my speed.
What is it, if you were trying to describe this to a young kid where you were, who's coming up, they want to be you, they want to do what you did in the last couple games, what advice would you give them?
To put the work in. Like, you don't want to be the kid in practice that just sort of stands around in the back and watches. Like, I remember my sophomore year, my freshman year, there were definitely running backs that were better than me, but I made sure I was like, I got in, got my reps in. Like, I'm not going to stand there and let them get all the looks.
Yeah. When you look back, you talked about the encouragement of family and friends counts. Now, I athletically, I don't think that would count, but how does it count in the scheme of things?
You want to do good for them. So when they're encouraging you, like, you want to, like, you want to put on a show for them on Friday nights. You want to make them know that they're, like, they're helping you out.
When it comes to that, what is the best moment you've had with your family? Certainly there have probably been a lot of celebrations.
The fourth touchdown one was pretty good. That was pretty exciting afterwards. Beating Pleasant, that was a big one. They were really excited about that one because, I mean, no one likes Pleasant from River Valley.
Now, do you think they are as excited as you or more excited?
Sometimes, I mean, they're definitely more excited sometimes because when I'm running the ball, like, I can definitely hear them louder than some of my teammates. I mean, they get pretty excited. They get riled up.
Now, you have mom and dad. Now, how have they played different roles? Are they as into it as everybody else? Or different levels?
I mean, they're both really into it, actually. They're both really into it. My mom has been more into it, I feel, because she gets up and she'll, like, run in place with me as I'm running the ball. And, like, you'll hear her yelling. I mean, my dad will yell, like, yeah, and stuff, and he texts me on game days and was like, let's go. I mean, get pumped up. Like, I mean, it's exciting knowing they're both there to support me.
Well, it's interesting. What do you consider that relationship to be, mother and son? That's an interesting relationship.
Yeah. It's definitely different from normal kids' mother and son relationship. I can say that. It's definitely different.
And we're going to bring in here our... you're going to come on over? Oh, yeah. Come on over. We're having a good time here. Yeah, he was there for some of this. Sports Director Emeritus here in Marion, Jeff Ruth. Jeff, how you doing today? Good to see you.
Since I don't have a computer at home...
You have to come here.
I came here to get some statistics for the games we're doing Friday night.
And just a little plug, what game are you doing Friday night?
Over at Ridgedale, Friday night.
Now, you've been at the last two games that River Valley has... Last three. What do you make?
Play with a lot of confidence. I look at Ontario, and that was a game I really think they should have won. Mm-hmm. But... You look at Ontario now, and I mean the last couple of games, they've played really, really well. So Ontario was a good football team. They're going to have their hands full with Shelby on Friday night, but that's why they play them.
Now, Luke, how much confidence do you have to have going in the game? Like, Shelby, you know, is a good team. Now, I would assume you think you're going to beat them.
Yeah.
But how's the confidence?
I mean, it's not as high as it normally is because – I mean, there's not a spot that they don't have a good player at. They have a full set of receivers. Their running back's extremely good.
Their running back ran for, what, 450 yards against Pleasant?
On 15 carries.
Yeah. Wow. He didn't play the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's interesting. So what do you think? I mean, obviously, not the strategy for the game, but what do you foresee happening Friday?
I believe we can pull the win out. Because, I mean, last year it was a close game, and they had the same running back to do this year, and we held him to under 70 yards last year. We have a really good run defense, and then he goes out, Lucas comes in, and they were playing MOAC teams this year. They held him to 18 yards last game.
River Valley is not one-dimensional. In years past, you pretty much knew what River Valley was going to do, but they have some really good receivers. Really impressed. They have a sophomore quarterback, and he passed for 370 yards.
Yeah, he just broke the school record the other night as a sophomore.
Okay. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
As a sophomore.
But wow. They and he's a quarterback, but he's a quarterback, but he's like, I mean, if he's in open space, he'll take on a linebacker. I mean, he's got that running back kind of mentality. River Valley has as many weapons as I can ever remember them having. They got some really good receivers, Luke, but they got a couple of really good running backs, good play from their quarterback. So you can't just say we're going to shut down Graham or we're going to shut down Rodgers. Because they have a lot of different weapons.
Now, how would you compare this River Valley team to the last few that you've played with?
Better. I mean, we've always had good running backs because we've always been a run-heavy team. Like, every year, like he said, you would know what we're doing. Like, last year, that's the problem. I mean, I got a lot of touches. We won six games. But, I mean, they knew I was getting the ball. And sometimes we'd run the same play two times in a row just to see if it'd work.
Now, how many touchdowns have you had in your high school career?
Let's see. I'm at 9 this year. Probably 15 maybe.
15. Now, what's normal, Jeff?
Oh, I don't know.
Is there any rhyme or reason to that?
I've never thought of that.
That's why we're here. We want to think about these things. I would think that's a high number for one person.
You know, up until this year, I mean, you were like, you know, one of the players. But this year, he's kind of the go-to guy this year. I mean, there's instances where, you know, the Fisher kid that scored, what, 7 touchdowns against Pleasant or whatever. So, you know, 15, taking nothing away from Luke, but 15 is not that unusual for a running back in high school football.
Now, coming, but
he's certainly upped his game this year.
Now, coming, what do you think made your game up this year? What do you accredit it to?
He better say his offensive line.
Our offensive line, yeah, I can give it to them too. But working in the off season, I mean, we brought in a strength and conditioning coach this year, so we've been putting in the work since last December, leading up till now. So a lot of us got in shape. We got faster.
I didn't realize that. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, we brought in a guy and he coached us up. I mean, all of us.
So that made a big difference in your opinion?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. And this was the first year that it happened?
Yes. This is the first year we've had a strength and conditioning coach since I've been in high school.
Now, how many games are left?
Well, you're guaranteed a playoff game, but this is the last in-season game.
So how do you feel about Friday night just in general?
I'm not one of those kids. Me and Cooper Graham have both talked about this. We're not as sad as we thought we would be for our last high school game, but, I mean, we wouldn't go out and end on a win. So,
and no matter what happens Friday, they know that they're in the playoffs.
Yes.
So they will have a game next week, and probably it'll be a home game because they'll be seeding teams this week. So, you know, they're guaranteed at least another game, and then, you know, who knows what happens after that. It's just been a very unusual season, obviously.
When you say that now, but when the last play is played, when it's all done, you think you just feel okay? That was it.
I guess it depends on the outcome.
So that it means a lot.
It means a lot, yeah.
So if Shelby wins this Friday,
if they win on a blowout, I'll be upset. I have a feeling this game is gonna be. I mean, either team can win this game, obviously, but I think it's going to be a close one. I don't think it's going to be a blowout on either end.
Well, so going in, I would guess that because of the last two games, how well River Valley has done, defeating the rival Pleasant, defeating Harding by such a large margin last week, 41-7, you scoring 6 touchdowns in 2 games, how do you feel they will guard you this week? Do you feel there'll be a little more pressure being a better school?
Yes and no. They have a really good set of defensive backs. So I feel like they're gonna have, I mean, our receivers are good, don't get me wrong. They're not the quickest in the world, but they have a really good set of defensive backs that I think will be able to guard our receivers. I mean, the run game too, they have a good set of linebackers. I think they run like a 3-man front on defense, which is the same thing that Harding ran. So it's not as hard to run the ball and chip away at them, but they're gonna be a tough team. They have big boys up front.
Yeah, it's in the Ontario game. They scored 4 touchdowns, but they missed all the extra points. And against Pleasant, they were perfect on the extra points. Last week, they were like 6 of 7 on extra points. The Pleasant game, I mean, they didn't have any blocked punts, only a couple of penalties. So it's gonna come, you know. Every coach says that, but it's going to come down to, you know, if they can avoid the penalties, if they can avoid the turnovers, and whoever does that the best will win, I think, on Friday.
It's interesting. We got about 12 minutes left here with Luke Rogers, but I want to ask Jeff this. I know you're not going to give us a prediction, but on Friday night, how do you see it going? Not the final score.
I haven't seen Shelby yet this year, so I can't really, you know, speak from their, that standpoint. But if River Valley, again, goes back, if they don't make the mistakes, River Valley is, if they, again, avoid mistakes, avoid turnovers, River Valley can win that ball game.
That's interesting. Well, Jeff, I appreciate the insight here on these games.
You didn't ask him. He mentioned they scored on a bubble screen. You didn't ask him about
that. I was going to ask that because I had no idea what
okay,
it was.
I knew you did.
No, I had no idea. I thought I could cover it up and just go right along with it. What's a bubble screen? I don't know. What's a bubble screen, Luke? Do tell.
It's when you have... Okay, so I don't know how to explain this. There's... Well, I... there's a bubble screen and there's a wheel route. I scored last week on a wheel route. So what that is from the backfield, I'll lined up beside the quarterback. There's me and the quarterback. And then when he snaps the ball, I'll sort of like wheel, but like don't complete the circle. Like I'll wheel out and just run down the sideline and then catch the pass and then run. So Harding never put a man on me. So I was open every time. They finally put one on me towards the end of the fourth quarter, and I knew the game was over. Now, a bubble screen is when you have a three set of receivers on one side of the field. The inside guy will run like a half wheel. He'll like just sort of arch back, and the two receivers will come up and block, and he just catches the ball and then runs in the open field.
Surprised you didn't know that.
Well, I got it now. I thought that's what it was. That was rolling around in my head is what a bubble screen was. Now I know that I was right. You know, have you ever announced that? There goes a bubble screen.
John Cusio does the games with me. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because John coached for years at Elgin, and, yeah, he's got a – he played college football. So, yeah, John knows all those terms.
Yeah, but, you know, I always wonder, when it comes to somebody who's involved in sports – different from your average high school student, there's a lot going on. You've got to come to practices. You got to go to the games. You do everything that needs to be done. How do you juggle it all in high school?
This year it's not that hard, only having one class. And, I mean, he made practices here go from 4 to 6:30 instead of right after school with all the COVID stuff. So it's easier to balance things, but it gives us, like, a sense of time management. Like, it helps us a lot. With that, and then going into college and having to have better time management, it sort of is like, it prepares us.
Does it change your life and keep you away from things maybe you'd want to be doing? Or is this the thing you want to be doing?
I mean, there's no place I'd rather be, but yeah, sometimes I could say it does. Like, some of my other friends that don't play sports are like, hey, you want to come hang out? I'm like, I can't. Like, I got to go to practice. And then after practice, you don't want to do anything because you're all tired. You just want to lay down. But I don't think so, because every Friday night, that's where everybody's at, if they can be with the whole ticket thing this year. But, I mean, that's where everybody goes.
How hard is it? How hard is it to maintain all of that?
It's not that hard. I mean, people might think it's hard. It's really not that hard at all, to be honest with you. It's pretty easy.
And just interject. Once the game starts, now I've been at Harding, Elgin, Pleasant River Valley, and I'll be at Ridgedale this week. But once the game starts, even though there's not very many people there, there are some people there. And at least from an announcing standpoint, you kind of forget that it's not a packed stadium because there are some people there cheering. And once the game starts, you don't really notice the lack of fans.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You would have thought it would have had more of an impact.
At least from an announcing standpoint, yeah.
Do you notice it once you're there as opposed to other years?
No, not really. I mean, besides the student section that's always chanting and stuff. And normally, like, we have people lined up around the fences and stuff watching our games, but you can't do that this year. But after, like, you run out, I mean, everyone's cheering, you don't really notice a difference, no.
Mm-hmm. When you look at because you're coming up here on graduation, what's your high school experience been like? How do you look back on it?
It was good. I mean, there's nothing really that I would change. I feel like I did everything right, I guess, being a high school athlete. But, yeah, I'm going to graduate knowing that I had a good high school career.
Now, how were the grades?
Good. I had good grades all through high school, yep.
Now, a lot of kids have trouble with that. Now, how were you able to manage?
I've never really been like a not smart kid per se. Like, I never really had to study. Like, it just sort of comes naturally.
We should ask Emil Dansker about you, Jeff, and what do you think he would say, our guest in the last hour? We'll talk about that one day this week. We'll get into the whole Emil Dansker, Jeff Ruth connection there, and remember that quote.
If it wasn't for Emil,
you wouldn't be here.
I never would have ended up in Marion, Ohio.
No, you'd have been, I don't know where you would have ended up at that if it wasn't for Emil Dansker. Football Friday nights, high school. It's a big deal. I think it's one of the reasons we did this year. What's the intensity like on a Friday night? Is it different than any other night of the week?
100%.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Waking up that Friday, it's intense. It's all you can think about all day long. You just want to play. And you want to – it's intense because you don't – there's so many different emotions. Like, you don't want to lose. You don't want to, like, you don't want to do bad yourself. Like, you get nervous. I mean, you're nervous all the way up until the first play, and then after the first snap, you're ready to go.
Ready to go. It's, will you be sad to see that all come to an end?
Yeah, for sure.
Have you kept or will you keep anything from your football experience? Is there something that means something to you?
I mean, we get, like, helmet stickers, like, depending on how well you do. Like, you'll get stickers for touchdowns and how well you played. I'm probably going to put all those stickers on a helmet and keep them. My cleats I'll probably keep, my last pair of cleats. But other than that, I'm not really going to take anything.
Do you have any, like, good luck charms, rituals you do before a game that you have to do? A lot of sports people are superstitious that way. Like, they wear the same socks every game.
I get my wrist tape. I do wrist tape, and I put, like, my grandpa's, like, the day he died on my wrist, and I do that before every game.
Hmm. Is that, what does that do for you?
I feel like it gives me, like, that sense that, like, he's there watching, and then it makes me just want to do better.
He was a fan of yours, obviously.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Of course. Yeah. It's tough, I would imagine, to lose somebody like that when... What do you think he would think in a moment like this?
He'd be ecstatic. Games. I mean, he watched all the way up until, like, my freshman year, so he didn't get to, like, and then I started my sophomore year, so he sort of missed, like, when I got to, like, start doing my thing.
Yeah. You know, if you're talking to a kid, if you would be talking to a kid and say, this is how you get it right, this is how you maintain high school with good grades, this is how you go out and do well in football, this is how it's done, this is how you get into college, what's the best advice?
That's a hard question. The best advice.
That's why he's a good interviewer.
Yeah, well, jury's out on that one, but...
I don't know. I would say to, like, I mean, this is pretty broad, but I'd say to, like, never give up, really. I mean, there's no reason to ever just give up and throw in the towel. Like, there's times in football where you have a bad practice and you're like, man, like, you're thinking to yourself, like, I suck. Like, you're like, I just want to quit. Same with school. You get a bad grade or whatever, and you're all upset about it, but, like, there's always tomorrow. Like, just go back in and do better.
Was there a worst game where it was just awful when it was over?
Yeah, there's definitely been those games. The Ontario game this year, that one. I mean, there were so many different mistakes. I mean, we had a fourth down drive, or we had a drive. We got fourth down. The ball was coming to me, but it was thrown too far for me to catch, and that was it. They just needed out from there.
Mm. You know, we've got about 5 minutes left here in the program, and I want to do this because this is unusual that we would have the mother in the studio. Abby, come over here for a second. Oh, yeah, come on. And I think this is interesting. There you go. You've been there before. So, this is not new. To watch your son, know he's about to graduate, have such great games these last 2 weeks. Yeah, I know. Look at that. Headsets are great here. What's it been like for you as mom?
I mean, it's just overwhelming pride. You know, you hear me get excited and talk about him, and, you know, you've texted during the game to get score updates, and it's... Yeah, I mean, I can't even describe how proud I am of him on so many, not just on the football field, in school as a senior. I mean, he's overcome all this, you know, COVID stuff and the mental, you know, kind of, you know, that's caused a lot over the summertime.
To hear him say that stuff about you, because I would imagine that's stuff you don't normally hear, because these are questions you don't normally ask at home.
Right.
What's that like to hear that?
It makes me so, I'm really proud of him. I mean, I'm glad I didn't screw him up too much, you know, along the way.
We know what the last game will be like for him. What do you think the last game will be like for you?
Oh, I'll be a mess. Last week was senior night, you know, so that was hard enough. We had to, you know, we sent posters in and decorated their lockers, and we had to write them. Well, I did. I chose to write them a little motivational, you know, pregame pep talk. So that was hard. But, yeah, it'll be sad for it to come to an end. It's been a lot of fun. We have, you know, we make friends with the kid's parents, which, you know, his set of friends that he plays with, he's played with since, like, third grade, fourth grade. So Yeah, we'll miss out on Friday nights too.
What's it different? How is it different to watch? Because I'm sure you went to football games when you were in high school.
Yeah.
Okay, when you're watching your friends or whatever mm-hmm. out there playing football, how is it different to see a kid, oldest kid?
It's totally different. I mean, I can't even. I mean, he's right. Like, I'm running in place. When he's scoring a touchdown, I mean, I'm running every step with him. I think when he scored his first touchdown when he was, you know, in third or fourth grade, I think I ran the whole length of the sideline with him. Like, in my, I mean, I cry when he scores touchdowns. Like, I can't even describe it.
Well, what's been the most emotional moment for you in his career?
I don't know. I mean, I think just seeing him see his hard work pay off. Has been the best, you know, because you tell your kids all the time, like, work hard, you'll get your chance. Work hard, you'll get in there, and he really has, and you know, it is paying off. So it's a good feeling for both of us, I think. Mm.
If you had to describe this whole career, the whole life so far, as you get ready to go on to big things and college and life, how would you describe the whole life experience so far? The high school years and all that are a big thing.
It's been great, to be honest with you. It's been good. It's been great. I mean, there's nothing I'd change, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all been good. Well, I'm so glad you came in today, because when I heard these statistics and things that were going on, definitely wanted to have you on the program. And it's interesting to me, because I've known Abby for about a year now, and, you know, I knew you played football, but she never was really overly... I would not have guessed you were that good, because it didn't come across that way. But... which I think is a very unique thing, because I think most mothers who had a player like that would be telling you that all the time. A lot of mothers who have players who aren't that good will tell you things that probably are not true. And I never got that impression from you, so I give you a lot of credit for that, because I think that's a very neat thing, because I never knew until the game started this year.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. I know the compliments.
I mean, as competitive as I am, and you put this out there all the time.
I've always suspected that there was something like that going on. Mom, competitive?
Oh, 100%.
100%. Yeah. No doubt about it, of course, and that's the confirmation there. Well, Luke, you're going to go on, and it's going to be great this week. Do you have a prediction for the Shelby game? What's the score going to be Friday night?
I don't know. It's going to be a close one. Like, it's going to come down to a field goal or a missed field goal or just like one touchdown. Like, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. Like, last year was 17-7. Like, this year it could be 17-10, or it could be 17. Like, it's just, it's going to come down to just one score.
River Valley, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No chance on the other.
They're a good team. Like, there's no doubt they could definitely win this game, but we're going to just come out and we're going to play Viking football, really.
Well, see, I don't think this Friday is being covered by any media outlet here in Marion, right? Probably not. So we'll have to get score cues, because we'll be on the air Friday night mm-hmm. for that particular game. Well, Luke, I can't thank you enough for coming in, and I think it's all true. You know, I got to meet you a couple times throughout the last year, but so impressed with what you've done and so impressed with how you handled it, and you did a tremendous job here today. Tremendous
thank you.
Job.
Thank you.
So I thank you for coming in. It was a lot of fun, and I'm sure it's no accident you're as good as you are.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. I'll be back to... Oh, there's a debate tonight, so I'll be back, and we'll probably be talking politics tomorrow. We'll be... what do we got coming up today? We've got Voice of the People with Linda Sims at 4, and the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker at 5. Luke Rogers was the guest. Everybody have a great day. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
This is Scott Spears high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at WWH.